Good morning. Our passage this morning comes from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 25. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast with confession of our hope, without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. The book of Hebrews is, in my opinion, very dense with truth. It's not dense, I'm saying it's concentrated. There's so much truth in each sentence. How can I begin to even expound upon this? But I just want to say three simple things from this wonderful passage. Somebody once preached a sermon called Three Heads of Lettuce. That's because there's three places where Paul begins the sentence with, let us. And that's how I'm going to organize this talk, under the three places where he says, let us. And the first place where he says, let us, is actually verse 22. It says, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. In the two verses prior to that, 19 and 20, he's talking about what Christ did for us on the cross. He's talking about what we celebrate every Sunday when we do communion, that his body was broken for us. That's what it means, the curtain that is through his flesh. And it means his blood was shed for us. And he became both the high priest and the offering. He was both the Lamb of God and the high priest offering the Lamb. And so the author of Hebrews is showing how now through Christ, once and for all, we have the ultimate sacrifice. And because of that, we can draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. What he's getting at, I think, in this first let us draw near, is that we, as I say every Sunday before we pray, can now come boldly to the throne of grace. That's what we're told in Hebrews, just a few chapters earlier, chapter 4, verse 16, where it says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that so that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in time of need. That's Hebrews 4:6. I am so grateful that I have a personal relationship with God. I'm so grateful that I can go boldly to the throne of grace and know that the Lord will hear me, that Jesus is my intercessor. Because of what Christ did, we can know that we are welcome to come to God's throne, and God's throne is a place of grace, not of judgment. We're told in James 4, verse 8, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. In the book of Exodus, this is a very interesting passage. It's in chapter 20, verses 18 through 21. God has come to a mountain, and he's expressing himself there. And listen to what happens. Starting with verse 18, it says, now when all the people saw the thunder and flashes of lightning and sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, the people were afraid and trembled, and they stood far off and said to Moses, you speak to us, and we will listen, but do not let God speak to us, lest we die. Moses said to the people, do not fear, for God has come to test you, that the fear of him may be before you, that you may not sin. The people stood far off while Moses drew near to the thick darkness where God was. See, the coming of Jesus brought a whole new paradigm about God to the people. Now God is approachable. We can draw near to God, not be afraid. One of the feasts, the Feast of Yom Kippur, where they celebrate atonement and atoning for our sins, and the priest would go into the Holy of Holies. Tradition has it that they would tie a rope around the priest's leg so that if he died while in the Holy of Holies because he wasn't good enough or had some sin he wasn't aware of, they would be able to pull him out using the rope without having to go in themselves. See, there is a fear of the holy sight of God. And Jesus came and was the ultimate atonement so that now we can have a personal relationship with God and come boldly to the throne of grace and know that our sins are forgiven and know that God is love. And in Hebrews, we're now told that there's the priesthood of all believers. All of us are kings and priests as unto the Lord. We all can go boldly to the throne of grace. And again, Hebrews 4:6 says that we come boldly to the throne of grace so we can obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I don't know about you, but I need to find mercy and grace every day in time of need. As I've mentioned before, my favorite prayer is help, because I need God's grace and God's mercy every day. And I can come boldly to the throne of grace and ask for it and seek it. The second let us is in verse 24. And let us consider how... The second let us is in verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. 2 Timothy 2, verses 11 through 13 say that God is faithful. He says, if we are faithless, God remains faithful. So we can hold fast because we know that God will be faithful, and that if we become faithless, we can rely on his faithfulness. It reminds me of the story of the small child who was holding on very tight to his parents' hand. And finally, after a long while, the child got so tired that he had to let go. And he was surprised because when he let go, his hand did not drop to his side, because that whole time his parent or her parent was holding their hand. And they did not actually have to hold on so tight because God, their parent, metaphorically speaking, was holding on as well. So hold on, hang in there, do your best, but know that if you slip up, you can know that God will be faithful. God will be there for you. God is watching your back, and you can get back on track. He's faithful. That's why you can hold fast. I got encouraged by a well-known pastor who I was mentored, mostly through his writings, but I actually was able to talk to him after a service. His name, Ron Mill. And what he said to me after the service was very heartening. He knew me. He knew the church I was pastoring. I don't know how he knew me, but he told me, we've been praying for you. And now you're the pastor. And he said one of the things, he said several things, but I don't share this. This one thing he said was, drive the stake down deep. I think what he was saying is, you may be tempted to pull up stakes and run, but drive the stake down deep. Hold fast. I think sometimes in our culture, we encourage each other to give up sooner than we should. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Don't give up. Drive the stake down deep. I love Isaiah 61. It's been called the divine exchange. And it's the passage that Jesus quoted from. But starting in verse 3, we have what I call this divine exchange, where the calling of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord, is upon the Messiah. And in verse 3, it says, to grant those who mourn in Zion, and to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. See, because of what Christ did and Christ's faithfulness, we can continue to do good, to not grow weary in well-doing. We can drive the stake down deep and become a tree of righteousness. We can experience that divine exchange, not only in our lives, but in our ministry to others in their hurting. So that was the second let us hold fast. And then lastly, starting in verse 24, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day draw near. Isn't it interesting? We are being encouraged to stir up one another to do love and good works. You know, this week I had something happen that illustrates this. I'm always amazed how I get illustrations on passages the week before I preach it. But I was having a moment of discouragement, and I found myself praying about that, telling the Lord that I felt discouraged. And right then, I mean, exactly, excuse me for my phone doing that. We're just going to keep going. Right then, I got a phone call. Sounds like this is being illustrated right here. But right then, I got a phone call. And it was a friend who felt compelled to call me and pray for me. And that's all they wanted to do. They didn't even want to know what I was going through. And they prayed a prayer of encouragement. That person was stirring me up to continue to try to do love and good works. When we get discouraged, that's when we shut down and we start maybe getting focused on ourselves. But when we encourage one another and we get the help we need to keep focused on others, then we're being stirred up. Have you ever stirred up a fire where the embers are almost gone? And you stir it up and you add some paper and a couple blocks of wood, and suddenly it's burning again. And that's what we do for each other. And that's why it also says, don't neglect to meet. I'm so grateful that we have Zoom, that we have people who can meet that way. I'm grateful that others are meeting in person. And I believe we are supposed to reach out and keep trying to find ways to connect to those who can't do Zoom or come to church in these pandemic times, because they need the same kind of strength that we all need and we are giving each other. They need to be stirred up to keep doing good. No one's a lone ranger. You've heard that before. We need each other to succeed in ministry. And God uses us to encourage each other. We're supposed to be encouraging each other. And we are a family. And thank God for this church family. So let us do these three things. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of our faith. Meaning, let's have a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And then secondly, let us hold fast the confession of our hope. Drive the stake down deep, knowing that he's faithful and that we can live for him, and we can be a part of that divine exchange. We can keep doing good even though we sometimes get weary. And then lastly, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. And that has helped me so many times when I have gotten weary and been tempted to quit, is the prayer, the text message, the card coming out of seemingly nowhere from one of you saying, you're in my thoughts, you're in my prayers, you're doing good. I just want to thank each one of you for who you are. I want to thank you for your faith and your faithfulness to God and to each one of us. I'm grateful to this church family. God bless you, and may you have a wonderful week. Amen.